Kataf. Therefore, Sadhya, execute the sacrifice to get. Bodhbhurang, good fortune. Te, to you. Atmanam, your own. Suprajam, good son. Nripa, O king. Ishtaha, being worshipped. Te, by you. Putrakamasya, desiring to have a son. Putram, a son. Dasyati, he will deliver. Yajnapuk, the Lord, the enjoyer of the sacrifice. Translation, O king, we wish all good fortune for you. You have no son. But if you pray at once to the Supreme Lord and ask for a son, and if you execute the sacrifice for that purpose, the enjoyer of the sacrifice, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will fulfill your desire. So there's no text to this purport. There's no purport to this text. So we're going to go on to the next text with its purport. So text 33. Tathasvabhagadhyanihi rahishyanti divakasaha yadyubhya purusha sakshat Apatyaya Hurir Vitaka. When Huri, the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices, is invited to fulfill your desire for a son, all the demigods will come with him and take their shares in the sacrifice. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Whenever sacrifice is performed, it is meant for satisfying Lord Vishnu, the enjoyer of the fruits of all sacrifices. And when Lord Vishnu agrees to come to a sacrificial arena, all the demigods naturally follow their master, and their shares are offered in such sacrifices. The conclusion is that the sacrifices performed are meant for Lord Vishnu, not for the demigods. Okay? So, Om Ganatim Randasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this sacrifice of Putra Kameshti is very, very common in the Vedic literatures. And in fact, in India, even today, you find people praying for a son, going to the deities for a son. And one of the things they do is they go to these sacred trees in different places and they tie things around the tree for a son. Like if you go to the Yoga Peak, which is the appearance place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you find all these little, sometimes even little toys and strings and everything tied around the tree. And when I first went there, I was wondering, what are people doing? And then I found out they're asking for a son. They're approaching God, and also they're approaching sometimes the demigods for a son. So the question is, why all this stress on getting the son? I mean, what's the purpose of having a son? Why not just be a sannyasi? So, well, there's a good reason for having a son. First of all, if we analyze the word in Sanskrit for son, it's putra. And this word is actually composed of two different parts. Put and trayate. Put means hell. It doesn't mean the sun is hell, although nowadays some of the suns are hell. But, isn't it? So triate means liberate. So it means the person who liberates you from hell. Why are you going to hell? Because if you're not engaged in devotional service, even if you're engaged in pious activities, it's almost sure you're going to go to hell because you're going to make some mistake. Like the story of King Riga. King Riga was engaged in so many pious activities. He would give millions of cows away to Brahmins. You know, very pious man. But accidentally, one cow wandered back into his herd, and he gave it away to another Brahmin. And the other Brahmin who had the cow and the Brahmin who had the cow before started arguing. And they found out it was King Riga's fault. Actually, it was an accident. You can't really blame King Riga for the whole thing. But that's the problem. If you're engaged in karma kanja activities, even if you make a mistake by accident, because mistake means by accident, even if you make a mistake, you're still held responsible. Pretty bad, isn't it? It's like driving a car. If you make a mistake, or even if you do the right things, you can still die. What do they say? Even if you're in the right, when I studied driving a car many years ago, even if you're doing the right thing, you have to be aware of someone else who may be doing the wrong thing. So you can actually have the right of way, but be right dead. In the same thing. Dead right, as they say. So the karma kind of process is like that. So anyway, so these two brahmanas, they were arguing, and eventually King Riga had to suffer the effects of making that mistake. And he had to become a lizard. This pious king, trying his best, you know, to do the right thing, had to become a lizard. And of course, he was fortunate enough to be saved by Krishna. So it's nice to be a lizard if Krishna is going to pull you out of the well. That's a story from the Krishna book. So that's the danger. So therefore, you need a son to perform the pinda ceremony so to save you from hell. And not only that, not only does he save you from hell, but he enables you to go to a place called Pitri Loka. It's a nice place. It's like a vacation place in Fiji. Actually, better than Fiji, it's like Hawaii. Hawaii is a place where the weather is never bad, they never get hurricanes, probably never. The weather's always the same, it's beautiful, it's like paradise. Prabhupada said, there is no nice place in the material world, but if there is a nice place, it's Hawaii. He didn't say Fiji. He said Hawaii. So you can be envious. But Hawaii is another island, group of islands in the Pacific, North Pacific, instead of South Pacific. So it's like going on vacation to go to Pitri Loka. And so, but when you go on vacation, and even if you take your credit card, after a while, the money runs out. You can't stay on vacation completely. Just like we were talking to Sanatan Prabhu. He wants to go to the United States on vacation, right? And so I said, you should stay a little longer. He said, no, we can't afford it to stay any longer because we have to come back and do our business. Right? I said, you should stay for the New York Rathi Yatra. It'd be so nice. He said, well, no, can't stay. So Pitri Loka is like that. You use up your pious credits. But if you have a good son, he keeps sending you money. Sending you pious credits. You understand? So it's nice. So therefore, it's good to have a lot of sons. And grandsons. And as soon as they stop doing the pinda, Shune Punya Marcha Lokam Vishanti, you come back, either the earth planet or you go to hell. One of the two places. Just like there's a story in the Mahabharata, of this sage, Jatukarna. And he was brahmachari. And he was having a good time. He was chanting Hare Krishna, enjoying himself. Didn't get married. No responsibilities in life. And then he comes across a group of people who are hanging upside down. Some of you may remember this story from the Mahabharata. But they're hanging upside down over a deep well, and there are rats eating away at the rope that's hanging, that's holding them. And they're getting ready. And he asks them, who are you? And why are you in this situation? And then they describe, the reason we're in this situation is that we have a descendant, his name is Jatukarna, who isn't doing pinda. And then he thought, uh-oh, that's me. I better get married. He didn't want to get married. So he said, all right, I'll only get married if I find someone by the same name. And eventually he did. He found a snake lady by the same name. This is a story in the Bhagavatam, and as a result, they had this Ashtaka as a son, and this person saved the snakes from Maharaj Janamejaya's Sarpa Yajna. So in any case, That's why it's important. One reason why it's important to have a son. Okay, we covered one reason. Another reason is that you need someone to carry on the family business after you die, especially if you're a Vaishya or a Kshatriya. I mean, if you're Shudra too, yeah, same thing. Shudra or Brahmin, actually all the classes, because a Brahmin's family business is Yajan Yajan Vatan Vatan Dana Pratigraha. So he needs someone to carry on, take care of his ashram and everything like that. And if you're a Kshatriya, you need someone to become the next king. That's called primogeniture. That means the oldest son becomes the next king. And if you're a Vaishya, you need someone to take over the family business or take care of the cows. And if you're a Shudra, you have some skill like... Shudras generally had a skill like cobblers, you know, the muchis, you know, people who took care, who made shoes. So you train your son up in the same skill, like carpentry. These are all Shudra skills. Or artistry, or things like that. So it was important to have a son to carry on the heritage, or else the family heritage was finished. And especially if you're a king. Because the kings wanted to have someone take over who had the right genes, genetic makeup. Because the kings, they got married not simply out of love, of course love was there also, but to breed good children. Like we see in the case, this story is about Maharaj Anga. Maharaj Anga wanted to have a good son. Of course, later on we discover his son wasn't exactly nice. But he was good because he encouraged Maharaj Anga to take sannyas. That was it. In that sense, he was a good son, right? He was so bad that he drove his father out of his house. So it's important. Like you see in the story of Dasarath, the father of Lord Ram. He wanted to have a son, and he had this same ceremony performed, Pushtra Kameshti, performed by this Rishi Sringa. There's a whole story in the Ramayana about Rishi Sringa, the sage who had never seen a woman his whole life. I don't have time to tell that story right now. That's for the Ramayana. That's a Ramayana story. But he had this whole ceremony performed just so he could have a son. And of course, he had four sons, which is very nice. And he was so much insistent. Previously, he had had a daughter. And he had given his daughter away to this king, Romapad. Anyway, that's another story. But he wanted to have a son like anything. So very important, so the kingdom could go on, so the citizens would be taken care of, and so the king could take Vanaprastha and renounce and do his duty and actually become Krishna conscious at the end of life, or as Prabhupada would say, the fag end of life. That means the end of one's life. Because there's a different stage or different things that are done at different stages of life. When you're young, you have education. When you're a little older, you take responsibility. And when you're older, after 50, 55, then you should devote your life fully to Krishna consciousness. Not if you just stay your whole life just doing business. I mean, you can if you like. But you can do business your whole life. Or then you become, like Prabhupada said, there was a man who was very attached to the stock market. You know what stock market is? And then he took birth as a rat in the stock market in his next life. Because he was so attached to the stock market. So at the final stage, there's Vanaprastha. Certain people can take sannyas, but actually in Kali Yuga, sannyas is more or less forbidden except for exceptional cases. But Vanaprastha is recommended. In other words, the husband and wife, like Shumukha asked me this question yesterday, should the husband and wife simply stay at home? And I said, no. What do you do with staying at home? You just watch football games at home. You know, the Fiji Sevens or something like that. No, you go out and preach. The husband and wife should be preaching. This is the Sankirtan movement. That's the most important part of our Krishna consciousness movement. It's Bhagavad Vidhi. We have Pantrachik Vidhi, which is very important, but Bhagavad Vidhi is actually the essence of the Krishna consciousness movement. So the husband and wife, they go out and preach.
And it's nice.
A husband and wife team can distribute books, can preach, can do so much to take care of the deities. Like Ajahn Sutta and his wife for taking care of the deities. This is perfect vanaprastha life, isn't it? They're serving the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not that they simply sit at home and say Hare Krishna to each other and take care of their little grandchildren. I mean, sometimes people think that's vanaprastha. You just spend the whole life visiting grandchildren. You know, going from New Zealand to Australia to America to visit your grandchildren. That's not vanaprastha. That's grihaprastha or something like that. Mayaprastha. So that's proper. But in order to do that, you need a son who takes over. So these are very important reasons for having a son. Now, of course, then the ladies will ask, hey, what about us? You know, son is important. That means we're just like non-existent. But isn't it? Because, you know, we should understand there's putra and putri, which is interesting. But in Vaishnavism, in the Vaishnava, our philosophy and the way Prabhupada has instructed us, both the son and the daughter can save the father or mother or family members from hell. Or the wife can save the husband. You see this in many cases, that the wife saves the husband. If you look at the strict karmakanda, you know, Vedic system, it's usually the husband's the big boss and the wife has to do whatever he says. But in Vaishnavism, it's different. It's like a partnership, the husband and the wife. They're actually, depending upon their level of spiritual advancement, the wife can be more advanced than the husband, or the son can be more advanced than the father. It depends on one's individual spiritual advancement. It's not under the jurisdiction of the karma kanja system. So in other words, in Vaishnavism, there's true equality. The women are equal to the men, spiritually, and they're to be equally respected. That's why in ISKCON in the future, we're going to have like lady gurus in our society. Because they are people who are very advanced. Like one of the ladies who's being put up as a candidate for guru, her name is Narayani. She is so advanced that she's practically the only one who can teach the Bhakti Vedanta course. She has the whole Bhagavatam memorized, the whole Bhagavad Gita memorized, much more educated than me in Krishna consciousness. So you judge someone by the level of spiritual advancement, not by the external physical appearance. Kiva vipra kiva nyashi shudra kena noi, ye Krishna tatva veta, se guru hoy. Whether one is from a family of vipras or shudras, or one of the sannyasi, if one knows the, or a man or woman, if one knows the science of Krishna, they can be considered guru. So in other words, in Krishna consciousness, the women are just as important as the men. The women, the ladies can be considered putri, and the men are putra. There's not that discrimination. It's very important to understand. So therefore, we respect, the men respect the women, the women should respect the men. It's not like some chauvinistic society where the women are mistreated or abused or anything like that. This is a very important part. And that also means the women have a responsibility to be educated in Krishna consciousness too. They should study, learn the Shastra, and preach too. Not that they simply ride on the dhoti tails of the husband. You know, the coattails, the dhoti tails of the husband. They have the big responsibility. Like all of us have the responsibility to study Srila Prabhupada's books. Not that we simply sit here, come to the temple and eat prasadam. That is not a very good procedure. We should learn what is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We should learn, we should be able to preach, we should practice, all those things. And Prabhupada wanted every devotee to become a preacher. Prabhupada actually wanted every devotee to become a guru. Prabhupada said, all my disciples should become gurus. Of course, qualified. It's not that it's a rubber stamp thing that anybody is a guru, even though they're doing all sorts of nonsense. But that was Prabhupada's expectation. Prabhupada said, all my disciples, both men and women. And so this should be the expectation of every member of the Krishna consciousness movement. To become guru, either instructing guru, not that everyone has to go around initiating, but instructing guru or initiating guru to guide others in Krishna consciousness. Even the parents are considered gurus. It's a very important responsibility. So that means studying, association, avoiding bad association, controlling the senses. Everyone has that responsibility. Anyway, and then everyone is putra or putri. And instead of, you don't need to have sons, you can actually preach to people and they'll save you. Then you have actually spiritual sons and spiritual daughters. If you make someone Krishna conscious, you're guaranteed to go back to Godhead. Pretty good, isn't it? So if you go out and preach, let's say if somehow or other I convince Sumukha to become Krishna conscious, then I'm guaranteed to go back to Godhead. Pretty good, isn't it? So that's our spiritual insurance. If you want to take out a spiritual insurance policy, you preach, you make other people Krishna conscious, and just like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj became Krishna conscious, and when he got ready to get on the airplane to go back to Krishna, actually to the Dhruva Loka, Krishna Loka actually, and what did he say? He said, oh, my mother was the one who introduced me to Krishna consciousness. I'm not going anywhere without her. And they said, all right, she's on the airplane right behind you. Just wave to her. She's not on the Malaysian Airlines flight. So maybe they all went back to Godhead. The Malaysian Air. Maybe there was some devotee on the plane and they just chanted Hare Krishna. Just went back. What do you think, Ramchandra? That's why they can't find the plane. So anyway, so this is the point. So any questions or comments on this, on these points? Questions, comments, arguments, problems? The point is every devotee's duty to study Srila Prabhupada's books. Not just the sannyasis, not just the men, not just the women, they're the children. Kamara macharet pragyo dharmam bhagavatam niyam. Questions, yes.
Go to Banprastha.
Yeah.
Yes.
50, 55, whatever, yeah.
But now, if it is more, 60, 65.
Oh, you mean the government? The government's changing to 65. That's the government's problem, not ours. But it's not that we change it to 65, but it's a general procedure. Like Prabhupada did that, you know, 50, 55. Because you understand that life is coming to an end. I mean, of course, life could come to an end at any point. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. There's danger at every step. But generally, we understand as we get older, like Prabhupada said, old age or the age of someone is determined by how close they are to death. It's an interesting statement. Prabhupada was talking to a reporter, a young girl, and she said, how come there's just young people here? Of course, Prabhupada had two answers. One is, youth is the age for education, because you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And then Prabhupada said to her, how come, are you sure, basically I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the exact words, that you're not older than me, you know, young girl. And the girl was shocked. And then Prabhupada defined old age as being close to death. In other words, how do you know you're not closer to death as a young girl than me? And even here in Fiji, we see young people dying from car accidents and dengue fever and things like that. So how do you know? So in other words, we should always be prepared. But specifically, when one gets to a certain age, it's not the time for economic development anymore. That's the point. You know, when you get to 55, you know, you get 50, 55, whatever. It's not the time when you should be thinking of making more money. Like I have one friend, he's about 60. And he just constructed a new motel. You know, he owns about 3 or 4 motels in the United States. And he's just like exhausted because the same strength is not there for economic development or enthusiasm for economic development. We all experience that. I mean, I'm just about 65 right now. And I say the same energy is not there for things that maybe I was interested in doing when I was young. You know, when I was young, I liked to do things, going in a boat, always wanted to do hang gliding. You know hang gliding is? Anyway, you don't know what that is. Jumping from an airplane. But anyway, so, but now, not interested in these things anymore. So it was physiologically the body changes. And then also you're getting closer to the time of leaving the body. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam yajate anji kalevaram. And so you should be trying to concentrate yourself on thinking of Krishna. Because when you think of Krishna, you go to Krishna. If you think of Fiji Sevens, you're going to go, I don't know what you're going to go or where you're going to go. Probably take birth in a Fijian village. Yeah, if you're watching one of these, you know, rugby games, and you have a heart attack during the rugby game, which can happen. Because when you're watching one of these games, you actually get in the mood of the people, isn't it? You see the people, you go, get him! And so what that does is stresses the heart, and if you're 55 or 60, you could have a heart attack. So get him! And next thing you know, bula bula. And you're a member of the Methodist Church.
No, they might come to preach.
Yeah, they might come to preach. Anyway, whatever. All right, I mean, that's one way to make Fijian people and Krishna conscious. You know, you all watch games and die during the games. And then we'll have a bunch of people who are born devotees in the next life, in the villages, right? I guess that's a good preaching strategy. But anyway, so think of Krishna at the time of death. I mean, I personally see as you get older, you do lose interest in all these things that previously were of great interest to you. And you have limited energy. So vanaprastha is right. Of course, the word vanaprastha means to go to the forest, literally. But in the modern day and age, it means to go to the forest, the city, you know, which is like a jungle. And you preach Krishna consciousness. It's so nice. I mean, making money, you know, it's boring. What are you going to do with more money? Buy another electronic gadget or something like that, or go travel somewhere? What are you going to see? The whole material world is the same. There's nothing different anywhere else. It's all just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Whatever country you go to, you can go to Africa, eating, sleeping, mating, defending there. You go everywhere. What's the use of traveling? Except to preach. Yeah.
That is on an individual basis, Maharaj, but we are a society.
Yeah.
On a collective basis, we have fixed it before Prabhupada.
Yeah, so therefore we're interested in money for Krishna. But for ourselves, whatever, you know, anyway, we want to serve Krishna. Whatever utility is the principle, so whatever serves Krishna, we want to do. But for ourselves, you know, sense got to be, and we've eaten so many different types of food, right? I mean, how many thousands of puris have we eaten in one lifetime? I mean, if you think about it, they probably fill this whole room with puris. Haven't you had enough? How many servings of paneer sabji have you had? Isn't it? I mean, don't you get tired of it after a while? No? So it's time to concentrate on something more important, Krishna consciousness. All right, any other questions? Yes,
Someone asked me this question regarding the ashrams and the business people who provide a written that, you know, telling a lie during the business. And how can the vegetable behave if he or she is doing business?
Well, doing a business means, Prabhupada said, Business means to buy something at a low price and sell at a high price. Or, you know, do some stock market thing. Buy stocks at a low price, sell at a high price. Or, anyway, there's different types of business. I mean, I don't want to get into all the details of the stock exchange. But it basically means when you're selling, if let's say you're a businessman, you're a cloth shop, you can't tell people how much you paid for the cloth. I mean, that wouldn't be so good for your business. Because it's bargaining. Like in India, if you look at the traditional thing in India, when you buy something, you bargain for it. Right? It's not so much here in Fiji, you don't bargain too much, do you?
The tourists do.
Yeah, the tourists do with the natives. I understand that. But in India, you know, that's a tradition. I mean, it's actually fun. You go to a shop and you say, someone says it's, you know, 2,000 rupees, and you say, no, that cost you 50 rupees. And then you reduce your price. All right, I'll pay you 1,500. And he says, no. I mean, of course, he'll agree to that. He's asking for that much money. So there's bargaining. And so when you're bargaining, you can't admit how much you paid for the thing. It just doesn't work. You have to say, I'm going to lose money if I sell it to you for this. Or even sometimes you say to him, I'm losing money because you're my friend and I like you, I'm going to sell it to you. But he's making 500% profit, but he's losing money at the same time. Right?
So, but the question is, Maharaj, if you take unreasonable and exorbitant profit,
yes,
then it would be too greedy.
Yeah, that's too greedy. That's too greedy, that's true. I mean, Prabhupada said with devotees, when they're selling things to each other, maybe 10 or 20% profit.
And no hesitation to tell a lie.
Yeah, I mean, but sometimes, I mean, business means that there has to be some little trickery there. I mean, what can you do?
I think there is fault in it, and therefore one should contribute in business saving.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you will be implicated.
That's true. Actually, a businessman should give 50% to Krishna's service, or else they get implicated. At least 50%. Because there is a sport. It's a sport. I mean, selling things, buying things. I mean, it's a sport. How to cheat people. Like you see, I mean, let's take the biggest company in the world. Does anyone know what the biggest company in the world is now?
Apple.
Apple Computer. Right. And so what they do is they go to the schools now, at least in Australia and America, and they practically give the computers away to the children. Now, why are they doing that? Does anyone have any ideas?
Because they get subscription.
Yeah.
Different services.
Yeah, and subscriptions, different services. And then the children, they become attached to using Apple computers. You know, Macintoshes, they're called. Apple computers. And so later on when they grow up, they'll just buy Apple computers. So it's like tricking people.
Brand loyalty.
Yeah, brand loyalty. They're tricking me. In the beginning, they're making practically no money because they're just practically giving the computers away to the schools. They say, oh, this is charity. We're giving all the computers away to the schools. And the schools are saying, thank you very much for all these nice computers. But then they're getting this brand loyalty. So when the kids grow up, they're going to just buy Apple computers. This is a typical thing. Or there's something called planned obsolescence, where they have a product, like if you're talking about Apple computers again, they have the iPhone. And every year they come out with a new iPhone. And people think my old iPhone is useless now. And in at least Australia and America, they line up for days to buy the latest iPhone at the store. They sleep overnight outside the store. You've heard about this before? And they just like, and they're fighting. Sometimes they're even killing each other, you know, beating each other up to get first in line. And this is all cheating. This is all cheating. So that, anyway, business means to a certain extent you have to trick people, you have to cheat people. Because if you made no profit, how would you stay in business? There's an interesting story about one great saint. His name was Tukaram. He never liked to cheat people. He had a cloth shop. And actually, he wouldn't even sell the nice cloth to anybody because whatever nice cloth was there, he gave to his wife. you know, a customer would come into the shop and say, oh, this is a really beautiful cloth. And then Tukaram would be thinking, wow, if it's such a nice cloth, I shouldn't be selling it. It goes to my wife. So he took it away. So he never made money. He would give all the nice stuff to his wife, lost money, and his wife got very upset. And basically, she started to chastise him, and then he became a great devotee. So if you're going to do business, Prabhupada said that's business. What can I say? No, I mean, you should give a certain percentage to the Krishna Consciousness Society. And also, when one's a Kshatriya, one has to kill sometimes. I mean, that's part of the Kshatriya Dharma. Like if you go to the battlefield and, you know, Arjuna didn't want to fight, but he had to kill his relatives. And he said, sin will overcome us by attacking such aggressors. It's better just to give up, he said. But that's a Kshatriya's duty. So a Kshatriya has his duty. So one has to stick to their duty. I mean, what? I couldn't imagine doing business if you didn't make a profit. If you told all your customers how much you paid for something, how could you make a profit? How would you live? So that's business. Nowadays, of course, they have to go to business school and get an MBA to learn that, right? As it's been so many years getting an MBA to learn how to cheat. In a big scale. You know, they learn how to do something called cooking the books. You know what that is? Probably none of the Ramchandra knows. But the rest of you, cooking the books means you get your bookkeeping, you know, your accounting, and you know how to manipulate it so you can take all the money from the company and it doesn't look like you're taking anything. That's what you learn. When you come in MBA, you learn that. I mean, you learn some good things still. I mean, you actually learn how to manage people and other things. I don't want to speak so disparagingly against business school. Okay, I think we have to end now, right? We have a big program tonight in Nandi, and then we have breakfast program this morning. So I can see everything is going very nicely. The deities are smiling. We have a nice teamwork spirit here.
Thanks,
Rasa. Yeah, they're smiling like anything. It's good teamwork. And Nandakishore and Ramchandra and Anjana Sutta, so many nice devotees are here helping it. Achyuta.
I'm mostly resting, Maharaj. Others are doing things.
No, I mean, I heard you preaching to the devotees, encouraging them. It's like a teamwork. Everyone works together. Like rowing the boat. You know, when you row a boat, generally one of those big boats that used to cross the ocean, like the Viking ships, everybody had to row together. Or Prabhupada had the dream of all the incarnations rowing the boat, taking him across the ocean. So they all rowed together. So you're all rowing together. Teamwork is very important. As we progress in our Krishna consciousness movement, teamwork becomes more important. It's not one-man shows anymore. When you first start something, that's a one-man show. That usually is like that. When you first start a new movement, start a new preaching field, one-man show. But then to keep things successful, then you need to have teamwork, people working together in cooperation. And that's what we're seeing here. And I'm very happy to see that, you know, all nice Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. Okay, so we should end class. All glorious to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda, Hari Hari Bol.